First of all, thank you so much, Tom. Thank you, HKW, and thank you, Sonia. It's a pleasure to work with you for, I don't know how many years we have been in touch since 2012. So what I'm going to do is to give, because we are working on this film together, that will focus on this idea of nature as an infrastructure of infrastructure for learning and struggle together. No, and I think I would like to start this presentation with showing you an excerpt of a film. It's actually shot. It was shot in the image is it was shot in 1969 and shows Milka Cabral talking with the teachers of in the jungle in the Boer area, that is actually an area in the interior south of in the next to Guinea Conakry, and I think it's what I think it's interesting is like it's just a 3-4 minute excerpt. It's the aspect that how Cabral is addressing learning and equalizing learning and the struggle. So he's saying the learning the teachers are the avant-garde, the front line of the struggle, and it's you know the research that Sonia did extensively in the last decade, it shows how, you know, like I think 153 jungle schools constructed during 11 years of war shows the how this process of learning and the war against colonialism were together. This is just a little map of Guinea-Bissau. It has a very specific geography also that will be a subject for our work.
Vanno a conta camarada su franqueza e sanno lì un conto di mal. Un conto compagnia da boe. Camarada escursor. Talvez alguns de comar e que não desse contribuição para a liberta terra. Quem cuida que lá é que não tem nada dentro de uma luta, nem de uma vida, nem de um partido. E que são o tiro que está libertado em terra. E que são no exército ou no trabalho político que está libertado em terra. A maior libertação na terra que eu vou fazer é acabar com a ignorância na terra. São horas que homens como dias na terra entendem aquela vez. Que por medo, que por perder medo. Medo de rio que enche demais que não corre quente quente. Medo de trovoada. Medo de relâmpago. Medo de raio. Medo de polão. Medo de caminho escuro. Medo de mato de coviana. Medo de mato de quimera. Medo de moro. Medo de pesteiro. Medo de jambacoca. Medo de cipaio ou polícia, medo de qualquer dirigente político, medo de qualquer homem que pode ter arma na mão, medo de qualquer força que está se diante. Só uma hora que o homem entende, claro que pode ter aquele medo. Como você viu, nosso povo não vive na medo, tinha demais, deixou o tempo na medo. A maior libertação que o povo na terra é libertar nosso povo de medo. Para libertar nosso povo de medo, tem que libertar de ignorância. Esse é fundamental, camarada. Por isso que trabalho de professor é trabalho de frente na luta, de vanguarda. Trabalho de estar sempre camalhado todo dia, mas que não vai ter consequência no futuro da terra amanhã.
So one aspect that I think it's very interesting is this this interest or this perspective of the relation between education and deconstruction of fear. You know, like as we know, the fear is actually the way many politics press and oppress, and how Cabral was very interested in demystifying, and actually is also one aspect that that Sonia was mirroring in the content of the school books, how fear and fear of nature was fear in general as an important tool of the oppressed man or the oppressed human. And the other aspects that we want to focus is actually the fact that these jungle schools were constructed in the jungle with the jungle with the materials that were at hand, but we are going to and for example in this case they would dig holes also, so the architecture of the school was also connected with the architecture of the war. So they were permanently the content and the architecture were connected, and the other element that is interesting is, for example, not only the schools were connected with the forest and the jungle as the space and the environment for the school, but for example also in this case, this is in 1974, this is an environmental in the jungle that is constructed for creating architecture of representation. This is like a setting that was created to receive the ambassadors that recognized the proclamation of the unilateral proclamation of independence that was done in 1973. So in a way, and this is also another of these examples where this is the one of the Congress of the PAJC in 1973. The second Congress, actually, and also the jungle becomes this architecture of, in this case, of a parliament. You know, the first assembly, the first parliament of Guinea-Bissau, actually happens in this environment. So this is another aspect. That's something that Sonia and I discovered just yesterday, looking at the book. That this first manual is, for example, this aspect that here in this case. Very often paper was not at hand, and in this case three layers of elements that one is this mats that they construct that they are very traditional in Guinea-Bissau, these sleeping mats, and then a cloth that is this traditional pano de pinte, it's the weaving cloth that is put it on top of it, and then on top of it the soil. So, and soil becomes the kind of a blackboard for writing, and you see that there's other two places like that, settings like that where the blackboard is made of sand, of earth, and this is it mirrors a little bit of research I did and a text I wrote over almost 10 years and was recently published in a third text that is reflects the relation between the relation, it's kind of speculative, between the Cabral as a soil scientist, as an agronomist, and how his the notions that he developed and the research that he develops as an agronomist actually informs and shapes the way he creates and designs the struggle. It's a very complex. I'm not going to go into it, but of course, it is echoed also in our interests. So the main, in a way, the main subject we want to focus the film on is actually the mangroves. The mangroves, because there we are focusing our film into figures to students of that were living during the during the they were students during the war, and they were going to school in a school built on top of the mangroves that Sonia just mentioned. And I just have an image here that I mean that I shot half a year ago, accompanying and the workers from the Biodiversity Institute of Guinea-Bissau, while they are actually freeing the way to creating the path through arm of the sea that leads to. That leads to a village. That so you have to do this work, otherwise the village becomes completely isolated. So you, it's a village that is in one of the islands, the Orango Island in the Bijagos Islands. So this is just to give you an impression how does it look like to be within the mangroves. There's a lot of important. Elements that we want to reflect around the mangroves. I mean, philosophically, there are there is the Guattari and Deleuze developed around the idea of the rhizome. You know, that is the opposite of the tree root structure. That you know, like it's this kind of hierarchy structure of that arrives to one, you know, to one trunk, and the mangroves, they function the other way around. They are rhizomatic, no, they are rhizomes, so they are permanently projecting their roots in all directions. My other philosopher that writes a lot about it in the context, in the very specific context of anti-colonial struggles and the post-colonial condition is Edouard Glissant, that develops. I think I'm getting a problem with my voice. And so Glissant, he creates this concept of from the cosmos monde, you know, where he relates the cosmos, the chaos monde. The chaos monde is the what happens, you know, in the historical moment of the Middle Passage, where people are enslaved and they go exactly from this place, from the West African coast, and they are extracted from their origins, and they are brought into the Americas, and in the Caribbean discourse, Edouard Glissant reflects a lot of this idea of the unrooted people that creates this kind of Creole culture, and he relates the rhizome as this kind of you create your roots. By being kind of I can't say this word, but out of territory. And so in a way, all these philosophical reflections, we want to have and to bring in this aspect, because we think that this relation between the nature of the mangrove as a the mangrove geography or is connected with a very specific kind of mindset and thinking and process of thinking. So in a way, we want to not so much think of the mangrove as a metaphor, but more in a kind of geontological, you know, this principle of more in a kind of a materialistic sense. How does this relates to a specific possibility of thinking and being within nature and learning within nature. So actually, our project has a working title, "Learning with a Rhizophora." Rhizophora is actually the word for the mangroves, and there's many other elements that relate to this. Basically, what I'm giving you is a little bit like our notes and concepts and discussions. What I wanted to say, so basically this is one of the things that, to give you also another concept from Cabral, for example, he says that is something that is also in this text, Materialization, is that the Portuguese named these water areas in Guinea-Bissau rivers, and they gave them names. But Cabral, this is actually from a speech he gives to a political speech. He says that we have no rivers in Guinea-Bissau. We have arms of the sea. So basically, he's recalling also a kind of the importance of renaming and giving new concepts and producing new words out of the condition and the perspective of the people living there, because the Portuguese don't have arms of the sea. The Guinea-Bissau is actually a land under seawater level. 70% of the land is under seawater level, and it's permanent, this kind of tidal condition that creates a very specific mesological conditions. And I'm saying mesological because actually this is the word that Cabral uses for ecology. That is actually very interesting, because meso means environment and ecology means house. And we are using a word that, I mean, mesology was actually the old word for ecology, but it got discarded in a way. And I think we can also, there's something to recover from it. So there's many aspects that that are important for us to reflect. So also another aspect that I think it's interesting that will be also echoing in our... we don't know exactly how the film is going to look like, no, but we are like first convoking all these aspects because we want it to be flooded by them in order to make us find the images for it. And I don't know how long do I have? I have no idea. Okay, I think I went. Okay. So another aspect, for example, Cabral, that is important is the idea of the way Cabral was relating. You know, for example, he also he was informing the way the struggle was being designed in a way, with a lot of information from that he collected as an agronomist working actually for the colonial government. And one of the things he says in 1971 is that the guerrilla struggle after Che Guevara should be created from the mountains. So the guerrilla, so the mountain is the natural habitat of the guerrilla jungle. And actually, there is no mountains in Guinea-Bissau. I mean, the highest you have is some meters in the Boé Hill, but actually it's flat and flooded. And so he says that actually our people are our mountains. So he creates, this is what he says, the people are actually the mountains from where actually the struggle actually evolves, and evolves in a kind of a centrifugal. It evolves from the center of the terra of Guinea-Bissau, and it evolves centrifugal. That is also a movement that relates with revolution. You know, like so in a way. And actually, he said also in that same context that the Portuguese were in the beginning of the before the war started, actually stationed all the military forces in the borders, thinking that the Guineans were attacking their own land, but actually it's the people's struggle. So it's the mountains that is in the center. So all these kind of strategic and perspectives of the Portuguese that actually relate also to the how can you say, I'm missing the word, actually not being actually entitled to be there and to possess that land. So this it's all about this kind of like belonging and the knowledge that you have from the place. So I am a little bit lost, but I think that's it. That's another very beautiful aspect that is the Guinea-Bissau as also one of the, I think there's like 5 or 6 places in the world that has this phenomena. That is a phenomenon called the macareo. In English, it's called tidal bore. And actually, it's a phenomena that happens in the equinox. Happens once a year in the equinox and on the new moon. So it's actually one day. We were calculating it will be on the 22nd of September next year. And it's basically what happens is this... In a couple of seconds, a wave comes and floods from low tide to high tide. So basically, it happens in one moment, like in a couple of minutes, and this only happens in very very few places in the world to have a wave that inside goes inside the land and. This is from one moment to the other. I think we can start talking. I mean, there's many aspects that we can discuss in a more. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.